produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings, everyone. You are listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Pastor Tandwenyoni from Johannesburg, South Africa, and the name of our program is called Uncede On A Ndizanati. This show is produced by Kayla Paget, and welcome to the broadcast today. Sanibonani Dumelang Absheni, good day. I wish I had known all these languages, the languages of the world. It is indeed the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, we are rejoicing in that glad in it. Yane, siwe isikhathi esithukubanzi nyana emhlabeni. Isikhathi se-epidemic ye-coronavirus. But nonetheless, we are the people of faith. Remember, bazalwane, we've been talking on the subject of faith. You know, what is faith? Faith is a substance of things hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. In fact, this is just a quick recap. We looked at the subject of faith, and we also looked at the heroes of faith, go Hebrews 12. Today we are just siyangena futhi ku dinner ye faith or a lunch or whichever time you call it. Let's just dig in good subject ye faith. Is scripture said to sanamhlanje sizosithola ku 1 John chapter 5. In fact, the main verse here too is 1 John chapter 5, go verse 4. But we'll start reading from verse 1. Let us read. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Let me repeat verse 1. Okay, let's read that verse again. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 1. Liqala kanje lithi, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Then our main verse. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It's in Luke chapter 5. It is, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I had literally struggled, bazalwane, to understand. I've always thought about this versity. He that is born of God, or whatever that is born of God, overcomes the world, even our faith. And I had to look at different versions. Different versions will tell you they still have even our faith. And I wanted to understand, okay, he that is born of God. Because the Bible talks about, if you believe ukuthi Jesu umuntu umntana kaNkulunkulu, then you are born of God. And should you believe that the Father loves him, you believe that the Father sent him, you believe that, in my Lord Kubeka, the other verses, you believe the testimony for of eternal life, that you'll have eternal life. Years back, when I heard this verse, he who was born of God overcomes the world, even our faith. Whatever that is born of God. It made me look at it in many ways than one. Being nokucakwa even our faith, but let's just check New King James yona ibeke ngalendlela u 1 John ithi. Just quickly, okay. Verse 4, it is, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. When you have faith in Christ Jesus, that he is Lord and Savior, then you overcome the world. I've just said, I've looked at it in different ways. Mostly it came, the explanation, yeah, this verse in two ways. One, whatever that is born of God overcomes the world. Even our faith. Basically, whoever that is born of God. I when I thought about it, at first I thought about Jesus Christ himself. When you look at, especially the book of John, the testimony of Jesus, the works of his hands, what he did, healing the sick, preaching the word, telling people to repent. What is born of him overcomes the world. He impacted wa transformer the, let's look at the 12 disciples. Like he deposited himself, that was the word I was looking for. He deposited himself, guma disciples ake. And they have overcome the world too, because they have preached the word that Jesus, they have done what he used to do, and the Bible says he is Jesus that is born of God. Jesus is born of God, is the son of the Most High God. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the son of God, who is born of God. He overcame the world. So Nati as human beings. Oh, Jesus. Because we have received him. Because we are born again. Because we say he's the son of the Most High God. We believe. Remember, sikhuluma ngefaith. We believe by faith. He that is born of God overcomes the world. That is our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. It is by faith that we believe, and it is by faith that we receive. The testimony of Jesus is that he is the Son of God. Bazalana, let's just think about it. For now, as pose, let's think about it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is eternal. The testimony is that Masimamgelu Jesu Jonkosi Nomsindisi, we receive eternal life. Sisemhlabeni noma sesiphumile emhlabeni. Jesus. Let's pause for a second. Just think about it. Maybe you should go to my favorite verse. One of those favorite verses, Sakulia, a primary school, John, the book of John. In fact, this is the verse that the whole world knows. There's nobody who assumes a lot of the verse. Sikula ngalo. John 3:16. What is born of God overcomes the world, even our faith. Now we just quickly, just to analyze the John 3:16 verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. Angithi laphayana ku First John ikhuluma nge testimony, and ikhuluma ukuthi he is that what is whoever is born of God overcomes the world, even our faith, or our faith. We come to the knowledge of Christ, we come to Christ by faith. It's almost like umnyango uyavuleka from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Ukuthi wozani ngenani. Jesus Christ is Lord. Ngenani vumani shoni ngomlomo wenu ni believe ngenhliziyo zenu. Then you come into the house of God. Then here's the crux of the story here is that you overcome the world by faith. It is the faith in him that will cause you to overcome. Even in this time, you say corona, or whatever issue that we battle with, because there have always been issues that we battle with. We overcome because Christ is in our lives. For example, abafundi baka Jesu, they were in a boat. It's a pipeline. And there was a storm. Jesus Christ was in the boat with them. I think it's in the book of Luke. And they were scared. Maguba ne shaking, maguba ne storm. They were scared. It took uJesu ukuthi athulise umsindo. I mean, they said, "Aw, ulele," like he was asleep in the boat. The storm, and they woke him up and said, "Aw, disturbeki ukuthi sizo drown." Then uJesu uthi kibo, "Ye of little faith." It's again the subject of faith. So it is by faith that we are saved. Faith in him, faith in God. This is just an example that I'm showing Oguti. When we believe in him, we conquer. He that is born of God overcomes the world by faith. So abafundi bakhe in that boat, they conquered because he was with them. Ish, yani. How many of us gonna chase in the motion? Really apply faith. In this time of the coronavirus, the world is so fearful. How many of us can wake up and stand and raise their hands and say, I'm not scared because Jesus Christ is Lord. He that is born of God overcomes the world, even our faith. You know, because this verse prompts you to look at Jesus as a human being. It prompts you to look at Jesus, umsebenza wenzile emhlabeni. Although there's a part in my mind when I was thinking about this verse, I would look at it in terms of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Overcomer, the Lord and our Lord and Savior. At the same time, other versions might say, whatever is born of God. I'm thinking of projects that you are doing, ministries that you are in, where God has spoken to you about those projects. Because it's whatever that is born of God. If that project is born of God and you were told by God to do it, magufiga those storms of life. Magufiga those storms of life, those challenges that you have never imagined of. What is it that, who do you believe in? Who do you have faith in? Because the Bible says you overcome the world by faith. So we see in this verse, Uti, it takes faith. It takes faith to overcome. It takes faith in Christ. Uyakhumbula uma sisafunda le verse lethu khona manje kuJohn 3:19, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have an everlasting life. You don't perish because you believe. You don't have perish because you have faith. And you have faith in Christ. Usaphila ngapha kwethuna, even beyond ithuna. Because when you are born of God, you overcome the world. So what does this mean really for us, Bazalwane? So what does it mean, Bazalwane, for us to be born of God and to overcome the world? It means that ngempela, we should not be fearful. We have to really live by faith and not by sight. akufanelanga ngempela sisabe. Because our author and the finish of our faith, uJesu Kristu, our Lord, he has walked ngendlela yale mpilo yasemhlabeni. Before thina simamukela, he first had to overcome. And he came kulo mhlaba because God loved us. Ngamanye amagama, we are loved. You know, mawuthandwa ngempela, you don't have anything to worry about. You know, sisentendeni yesandla sikaJesu, sikaNkulunkulu. When you are loved, you know, you almost like you are in the bosom, the comfort place, kaThixo, where you don't have to worry about anything. But in Christ, you make your request, manga begging and bela weas, aba like, aba fundi baki, aba iba mbiza, bagu boat. How many of us can really live by faith and not by sight? May God really help us in this world, because you could be saying to yourself, "Kulama challenges angaka," because our natural responses when something bad happens, we quickly worry. I mean, if ngakhulunyane nje, I have to raise my hand on that. I sometimes panic. We panic. You even forget ukuthi uhamba nobani. You even forget that you are with Jesus Christ on your boat. In our case, you have received him as your Lord and Savior. He lives in the inside of you. In fact, you uhamba naye endleleni yempilo, but sometimes we forget that. Then, when we forget who we are in Christ or who he is in us, we even forget that we are born of God. We overcome the world. Can we please go back? Can God revive our hearts right now, our lives? And may God remind us ukuthi we are overcomers. May epidemics like about coronavirus or life experiences, challenges, may they not move us to an extent that we forget our identity. Because it boils back to the issue of identity. Because if the Bible says he who is born of God overcomes the world, he who is born of God overcomes the world, that's an issue of identity, of who you are and who we are and who I am. As Pastor T, who you are, as whoever you are, like Kamala Kutembo, Uzoto, or Michael, which like, whatever position where God has taken or put you in, the question is, are you aware that you are an overcomer? May God help us. May God once again revive our hearts, revive our lives. May God remind us of who we are. May the voice of God shout loud in our spirit. May we really be recalibrated on who we are. May we become overcomers in the name of Jesus. As I sign off, as Pastor Tandwenyoni, Bazalwane, I just want to make this last an announcement. The services that we offer, as we do motivation, we do counseling and strategic planning. And because of the change that is happening in this world, we're going to position the services that we do in a way that we are reaching out to our world. The services that is motivation, counseling, and strategic planning. Please pray for us that God helps us to preach the word, to do motivation, and to reach out to people, especially through counseling. You can imagine how many of us are scared, or how many of us have lost a direction of who we are in this journey. May God help us to not to stagger, not to fear, but to be exactly where we need to be. And we are more than conquerors, like the Bible puts it. So Esungcedo Prodigy signing off from the United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. We are going to be available to continue to offer counseling, strategy, and motivation to the world. And the number to WhatsApp is 084-669-3615, 084-669-3615. And our email is ungcede@yahoo.com, ungcede, it's UNGCEDE. God loves you, and we love you too. Amen.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. It's Pastor Sublime Konta coming to you. I'm speaking to you on a message I've entitled, The Violent Faith. The Violent Faith. I'm reading from the book of Romans, chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 17 through 20. Verse 17 through 20. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, before him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were. I wish to pay some attention on this verse. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. Now when you see God saying, I've made you a father of many nations, what is clearly revealing is that what you are to become, I've already made you. So God is not pointing Abraham to the future, but he's pointing Abraham to the past, and he's saying, I have already made you a father of many nations. I want you to understand that when God is saying these words, it is at the time whereby Abraham doesn't have a son at all. But God is saying, I have made you. I want you to understand that whatever God is going to do in your life, he has already done it. He has already done it. You see, there are two sides of the blessing in your life. Number one is the positional blessing, and number two is a recall, the experiential blessing. Jesus says, when you pray, this is the manner in which you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, and Lord be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is not planning to make you what he has never made you. Whatever God wants to make you, he has already made you. Now, when Jesus says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it means that there is a you in heaven that has already been perfected, that is already walking in the perfect will of God, that is already walking in the perfect victory of the cross of Calvary, that is already walking in the eternal life of heaven. So what you are in heaven must therefore manifest on earth. So when you see the words, I have made you a father of many nations, what is clearly showing us, or the picture he's showing us, is that whatever you believe in God for, God has already made you. God has already made you. God has already made you. I'm saying this three times as a point of emphasis. And I'm saying to you that whatever God is going to do in your life, he has already done it. You see, when you believe in God for healing, I want you to know that he has already made you healed. He has already given you the healing. If you believe in God for a breakthrough, whatever breakthrough it may be, whatever miracle it may be, God has already done it. He will never do anything today that he has not done already in eternity. So God has already made Abraham a father of many nations. And then verse 18 shows us, actually, verse 17, while we are on it, the Bible says, who gives life to the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were. No, the Bible says he calls those things that are not as though they were, not as though they are. In other words, once God speaks it, even if it cannot be seen with the optical eyes, God doesn't say it is not. He says it is. Because the Bible says he calls those things which be not as though they were, So he takes it to the past, because once he says it, it is created. It may not be seen in the physical realm, but it is already made. I want you to understand that the word spoken, it is the life created. The word spoken is the life created. Now, every time God speaks his word carries the ability to create whatever you are to become. So if God says, by my stripes, you are healed, that word carries the power to create that which has been spoken. So you don't have to live with a sickness thinking that if God is willing, he's going to heal me, because God has already spoken in his word, by his stripes, you are healed. So you take it like it is already done, and then it manifests in the physical. This is the violent faith that I'm about to show you right now. Verse 18, the Bible says, who in hope believed against hope? In other words, against all hope. The natural hope was saying, Abraham, you can't be a father. And I know that in your life, in your personal life, in your spiritual life, in your family life, in your community, there are natural things, there are natural conditions that are saying to you, you cannot be calm. They are saying to you, you cannot be blessed. They are saying to you, you cannot be anointed. They are saying to you, you cannot be healed. There are certain things that are speaking into your life, and they are called natural hopes. But even when the natural hope was dead and it was saying it's impossible for Abraham to be a father, God had already spoken. And look at what Abraham does. The Bible says, against all hope, he believed in hope. So he shifted his focus from the natural to the spiritual, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. So when the natural was saying there is no hope for Abraham to be a father, Abraham believed in hope, which is Christ. He believed the word of God. He believed the word of God. So it doesn't matter the condition. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter what could be said to you. You have to stick to what God has said. Because you see, the most beautiful thing about what God says is that once he says it, even if it is not there, it becomes a reality. Once God says something, even if it didn't exist, it will start existing, because God cannot lie. His word is true. His word is final. The Bible says, thy word is the truth. So God cannot speak something and then it doesn't become a reality. Actually, the book of Numbers tells us that our God is not a man that he should lie, neither a son of man that he should repent. You see, when I say to you, you are this, I could be lying, because I'm saying what God didn't say and I'm saying what is not. But you see, when God says it, even if it's not, you believe it, because it is. There is no way that God can say something and it doesn't become a reality. So when the natural is saying it cannot be done, you have to shift your focus from that and focus on God. God's word is final. God's word is final. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So his word is his power. And in that power, there is the ability to make you whatever the word of God says you're going to become. Actually, when you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, you discover that everything God created by his word. So don't run after the hands of the men of God. Run after the word. Let God speak to you. Let God speak to you. Once God speaks to you, his word is true. His word is the final authority. God said, the Bible keeps saying, and God said, and God saw, and God said, and God saw. And I love verse 31, because verse 31 of the book of Genesis chapter 1 says, and God saw that everything he had created, behold, it was very good. So there is nothing God will say that God will not see. And everything God says, he will see, and everything he will see will be very good in your life. So I want you to understand that. Whatever God has spoken, cleave to it and don't let go of it, it will surely come to pass. Because your Father cannot lie. He cannot lie. So against hope, he believed in hope to the end that he might become a father of many nations. That's in the natural. In the natural, he was going to become what he had been made already in the spiritual realm. According to that which had been spoken. So you are going to become according to the word that has been spoken to you. You're going to become according to the word of God that is being spoken to you. That should tell you, if you are not hearing the word, then you are not becoming, because you become according to that which has been spoken to you. So you must hear it. You must hear it. And I want you to understand, there is one thing that can conquer any devil in your life, any harassment of sickness and disease, any harassment of darkness in your life, and that is you hearing the word, because God will perform in your life according to the word he has spoken. So if he didn't say it, he's not going to do it. If you're not hearing it, you are not going to see it. The secret of this thing here is that you need to keep hearing the word, because God is going to perform according to the word spoken into your life. And verse 19, and without being weakened in faith, he was not weak in faith. How do you know that he was not weak in faith? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. In other words, his body was dead. That was the condition. That was the natural hope. That's what the natural hope was saying. Because the natural hope was now dead. So it was saying to Abraham, your body, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So Sarah's womb was also dead. Two conditions are saying to Abraham, whatever God has said cannot become a reality. Because number one, you are dead. Your body is dead. You are too old to be a father. Number two, Sarah's womb is dead. So she cannot conceive. She doesn't have the ability to carry the seed. Now, this is natural hope saying to Abraham, you cannot be a father. That is why if you want to walk by this faith that I'm talking about, you have to determine in your heart that you are only going to hear what God is saying, not what life is saying to you. Because life will tell you, you cannot become it. Life will tell you, you are barren. Life will tell you, you are sick. Life will tell you, you are weak. Life will tell you, you are nobody. But the word of God cannot tell you that, because God's word is the final authority. So the Bible says, he considered not the deadness of his body. Yes, this is faith versus sight, what you see in verse 19. He considered not the deadness of his own body, nor of Sarah's womb. So sight are saying, Abraham, your body is dead, Sarah's womb is dead. That's what we call facts. But facts are not always the truth. Facts are not always the truth. And as long as it is a fact, it can be changed by the truth. The truth is eternal. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. He is not a truth, but he is the truth. So that simply means outside him, there is no other truth. There is nobody else that can give you the truth like Jesus, because Jesus himself is the truth. So you need to understand that there will be facts in your life, and the fact that Abraham considered not the deadness of his body nor Sarah's womb doesn't mean that he was living in denial. No. He acknowledged that his body was dead. He acknowledged that Sarah's womb was dead, but he refused to consider it. Now, the word considered here that you find in Romans 4, verse 19, it simply means he refused to pay attention. He refused to believe what nature was saying, the deadness of his body and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He refused to believe it, though it was so. He refused to pay attention to it. hold. You are putting your faith inside a box. You are refusing to walk in the power of faith, because faith, simply put, is confidence in the word of God. That which God has spoken, it will surely become a reality. Come facts, come challenges, come attacks, come all the struggles of life. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm focusing on what God has said. And what God has said will surely become a reality in my life. So you focus on what God has said. And now, what you see in verse 19, therefore, is what I call the violent faith. The violent faith doesn't deny the facts. Yes, I have the pain on my leg. I can admit that I have the pain on my leg. But I'm not going to open my mouth and say it. Why? Because God didn't say it. You see, when I say something that God didn't say, I am a liar. I'm not a liar because I don't feel it. I'm a liar because I am saying what God didn't say. So if God didn't say I'm sick, I'm not going to say I'm sick. Even if I feel it, I'm not going to speak what I feel, because I don't walk by sight. I don't walk by feelings. I don't walk by what I can taste, what I can hear. I walk by faith. Faith in the word of God. Faith in that which has been spoken. I believe with all my heart that I am becoming what God has said. In spite of the condition in my life, what God has said, I believe that I am becoming it. It doesn't matter what nature is saying. It doesn't matter the condition in my life. But the word of God is my final authority. So I am standing on the word to the end. I'm standing on the word to the end. Wow. Abraham considered not the deadness of his body. I wish to challenge you right now. Please don't consider what you're facing. Don't consider what you've been confronted with. Don't consider your condition. Don't consider your pain. Don't consider your rejections. Don't consider your past failures. Don't consider what you're experiencing right now. Stick to the word. Keep believing the word. Keep standing on the word. Abraham considered not the deadness of his body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. And that's the strength of faith. Faith is simply refusing to put confidence in the conditions of your life, but putting your confidence in God, your Father. Now, verse 20. Yet looking unto the promise of God. So his focus was on what God had spoken. What God has said, I'm going to cling to it. I'm going to run after it. I'm going to pursue it until I see it come to pass. That's the secret of faith. I'm going to focus on that which God has spoken until I see it become a reality. So the Bible says he focused on the promise of God. You know, I'm reminded of the time of Moses. When the serpents were biting people, God said to him, make a statue. And everyone should look at the statue. And everyone that will look at the statue, they shall live. They shall look and live. But you see, even right in the midst of the statue that was made by the men of God, people kept on looking at the serpents that were biting them. And I want you to understand that everyone that kept on the serpents that were biting them, they kept on dying. But those that refused to look at the serpents that were biting them, and they put their focus on the statue that was lifted up, they got healed. Are you not understanding that Jesus Christ was hanged on the cross of Calvary just for you? And as long as you're focusing on him, you will keep living. Keep focusing on his word. It is finished. Keep focusing on his word. By my stripes, you are healed. Keep focusing on his word. I took all your curses. Keep focusing on his word. You are strong. strong. Keep focusing on his word. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Keep focusing on his word. I'm above only and not beneath. Keep focusing on his word. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right, but it shall not come near me. Keep focusing on his word. Do I walk through the shadow of the valley of death? I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. So you keep focusing on the word, and you will keep seeing the word become a reality. He focused on the promise of God. Yes, I can see the condition, but what did God say? Yes, I can see the challenge, but what did God say? That's how we live by faith. You stand on the word of God. You stand on the promises of God. He focused on the promise of God. And then the Bible says, he wavered not through unbelief. He was not shaken. He was not shaken. He was not shaken. He wavered not through unbelief. He refused to be shaken by the conditions of life. Most people can't stand in faith anymore because the conditions of life are too hard on them. I wish to tell you, the violent faith never considers the conditions. Yes, it can admit that the conditions are there, but it never considers, it never pays attention to whatever may be coming against you. I believe you're getting something. He looked at the promise of God. He wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith. He waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. His faith was revealed in him giving glory to God. So Abraham kept on saying, I'm the father of many nations. Oh, glory to God. I'm the father of many nations. Oh, glory to God. I'm the father of an Isaac. Oh, glory to God. So in spite of what was happening, he kept on giving glory to God. May I say this to you? According to the words of Bishop Oyedepo, he says, faith, he's defining faith, and he says, faith is being fully persuaded of the truth. The present circumstances notwithstanding, until the truth triumphs. So the truth will always triumph over the facts and over the lies of the enemy. The truth will always triumph. The key word in his definition is the word until. So when you find the word until, you then discover that it doesn't matter the prolonging of days, it doesn't matter how long it will take, it doesn't matter whether God has spoken when I was 75, Abraham, and now I'm 99, but nothing seems to be happening. I'm standing on the word of God 25 years later, because I know the truth must triumph at the end. So you stand on the truth until it triumphs. It doesn't matter the prolonging of days. It will surely triumph in the end. The Bible says, though it tarries, wait for it, for in the end it shall speak. So the Bible says, cast not away your confidence. Don't let go of your confidence. Refuse to let go of your stand with God because of the conditions of life. Keep standing in God. Keep fighting in faith. Keep pushing. Keep pursuing your dreams. Keep pursuing your destiny. It will surely come to pass in the end. Didn't Abraham become a father? Yes, Abraham became a father. And so shall you become what God has spoken. I challenge you this day, fight the good fight of faith. Keep standing and keep pushing. Keep standing and keep pushing. At the end, your faith will triumph against all the storms of life. I decree and declare, you shall live. I decree and declare, you shall not die but live, according to the word of the Lord. I decree and declare, you are blessed. I decree and declare, you are anointed to go forward. Stand in that faith. Keep pushing. I am praying for you. And may God's healing power touch you right now. Let every sickness be broken. Let every disease be destroyed. And let power flow right through you. Be healed wherever you are. Be blessed wherever you are. In Jesus' mighty. God bless you. We love you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, glorious greetings again from South Africa in the continent of Africa on your airwaves that you love, Finding My Way Radio. And my name is Benjamin Kuchon, and this is your program, Gloriously Connecting the Destiny of Our Glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, you remember the program called Destined for Glory. Yes, we are at that place of faith again, of believing the God who promised us in His Word in Romans 8 and 28, that we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So even as we embrace our program today, Destined for Glory, let's join together in prayer. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for yet another day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And we embrace right now the sacred moment, the holy moment that you have ordained that we can bow and embrace your word. I pray that the broken seals of your revelation, that is the embodiment of Jesus Christ, be released for every heart that is listening right now. I proclaim your breakthrough blessing in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in the character, and in the material. And by faith, we receive right now, Father, the power of your word. For you said, you have exalted your word even above your name. So let it be, Father, that whoever receives your word to do and hears your word is lifted up from every lowly state and put in the high places of your glory. For you said, the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. So we proclaim liberty over every listener throughout the world today. And we thank you that now we beholding us in the mirror through your word. We are being changed from the same joy unto glory into the same image. And I pray that there be the change that manifests your glory in the life of everyone of your children and your listening people right now. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear listeners, this is the day again where we are continuing with the constructions of heaven in this season that we are living in right now. And I believe all around the world, everything is making way because Jesus is coming back again. Yes, this is what's going on. Everything is making way for Jesus. He's coming back again. So it's my prayer that you and I today, we will receive of his word with that expectancy of knowing that the Lord himself shall return according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. The Bible says the Lord himself shall return with a shout and with a trumpet of the archangel. We shall hear the sound of heaven, and the day we cross shall rise first. We who are alive, the Bible says we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we be with the Lord. And the word continues to say, comfort one another with this word. Oh, even now, in the midst of all that's going on throughout the world, where there might be a cry of, where is our comfort? Our comfort is in that we have received Jesus Christ, who now in us is the hope of glory. You can do the same if you have not yet received Jesus. You can come to the knowledge of receiving Jesus, that when you receive him, he becomes the hope of glory in you. So today, let me salute you with the scripture that I believe ties us together from the four corners of the earth. in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, we hear Jesus speaking about the things that are affecting us this day, the things that are happening right now. And he was speaking about the end time prophecy when the disciples were asking him, what shall be the signs of the end? What shall or when shall the end be? And Jesus started telling them from Matthew chapter 24, and he said unto them there, you will see, as we read Matthew chapter 24, and he says in verse 6, rather from the warning of verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you. Which means the first caution is that do not be deceived. Do not be swayed by things that are not the truth. Do not be deceived. And he says, well, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. He says, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Yes, in the midst of all that we are hearing throughout the world of God says, the end is not yet. He says, a nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes, and various places. Now, beloved, these are the things that we are seeing ourselves across the world. These are the things that are affecting us very closely all over the world. And right here in South Africa, throughout the world, from South Africa to the United States, from India to all of Europe to Australia, there are shakings that are summed up in the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 24. But here is the connection point for you and I today. Matthew, that verse 8 following Matthew 24, he says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows, or they are the beginning of birth pains. What is this? When he says they are the beginning of birth pains, number one, it says to you and I, heaven is pregnant with something. Heaven has conceived to birth something. And just like a woman who is carrying the baby in her womb, there is the recklessness. But because now it has happened, everything around is being shaken. So that which cannot be shaken may remain. Everything is being shaken. And God is saying, do not marvel at the shaking. Understand what is going on. Heaven is pregnant with something. There is something heaven has conceived. Now the question is, what is this? Because I want you to know wherever you are, this is the prophetic connection of your breakthrough in this season that we are living in. The question is, what is it that heaven has conceived? And I want to submit it to you that in the book of 1 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, it is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What does this mean then for us? It means heaven is expecting and has conceived to birth you and I into the nature of who God is. Yes, that's what heaven is expecting of. Heaven is expectant of the souls coming to the knowledge of the truth, the souls coming to salvation, you and I coming to salvation, coming to know Jesus Christ and being saved by his grace. It is the will of God. It is the desire of God. It is the construction of God. It is the birth pains of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why when we go forward with the same scripture of Matthew 24, he says in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Remember in verse 8, he says, these are the birth pains. It is not yet the end. And then after he says, he who endures, verse 13, he who endures, endure to the end will be saved or shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Which means this end is what the construction and the birthplace of heaven about. It was about the birthing of the souls coming to receive the gospel of the kingdom. So what time is this, my friend? It is the time to open your heart and your ear to the gospel of the kingdom of Christ, the gospel of the grace, the saving grace of God. Why? For it is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And let me tell you something. When we connect with heaven, that this is what heaven has conceived, then we shall be ready to pray prayers that will forever be guaranteed to be answered. How will you love to pray the prayers that will be answered? Prayers that you know that I'm not doubting, I'm not speculating. It is sealed, it is guaranteed. Here are the prayer and the guarantee. The prayer guarantee is in that when we pray according to His will. That's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. When we pray according to His will, the word says He hears us. Oh, hallelujah. God hears us when we pray according to His will. Not when we pray according to our fears. Not when we pray according to the evil that is going on in the world. Not when we pray according to the trouble that's going on. No. Why? Because He said in John 16 and verse 23, He said, I have spoken these things unto you, so that in me you might have peace. And He said, in the world you will have trouble. And He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So He said, you cannot pray according to trouble. You've been told that trouble will be there. The trouble will be happening. But in the midst of the trouble, God is saying, I'm looking for an intercessor. Like He spoke in Isaiah chapter 60. He says, I'm looking for an intercessor. I'm looking for the one who will connect the will of God, the construction of heaven, and begin to pray that, Father, let your will be done. And we say, what is His will? It is His will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And I want to salute and proclaim a blessing even upon the radio stations like Finding My Way Radio. This radio station is right now broadcasting so that the will of God be made manifest on earth, be made manifest in your life. Maybe you've been wondering, what must I do to do the will of God? And God is saying to you today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive Him, for that is the whole will of heaven. Heaven has conceived that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now the question might arise again in your heart as to, how do I do this? This is how we do it. We receive Him who is the seed of heaven, Jesus Christ. And you must know, when you are receiving Jesus Christ, it is not just a religious slogan that we shout at Christians. No, no. This is a calculated conception of heaven where God has resolved, God decided that I want to dwell with humanity. I want to get married to humanity. And the only way I can do it is that I go down and take up their nature and I take their state so that now they will receive my nature and my character and my being. And that's why the Bible says God sent for Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time has come, Galatians 1:4 says, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. And when I conclude and say, to release us into the blessing of the grace of God. So that's why God sent Jesus. This is how we commit to do the will of God, to enjoy, to
to know that I am in the will of God is by receiving that which heaven has conceived. So we release a prophetic caution to you wherever you are throughout the world. Listen, if heaven has conceived that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and you and I, if we reject and resist the message of the cross, the message of the love of God, we are pointing a cutting finger to the womb of heaven. We are declaring that heaven has released a spirit of God. Why? Because you are still hearing the word of God. You were made by the word of God. You are even held together by the word of God, but you have not come alive to the word of God by receiving Jesus Christ. Now, wherever you are throughout the world, this is my prayer for you today, that you will open your heart and consider that heaven has conceived that you shall not walk dead in this world, but you shall walk being alive to God. Heaven cannot both be born. That's why he said in the book of Isaiah 66, he says, God will not bring you to a place of birthing and shut the womb. No, which means God cannot conceive to do something and cut it short. No, why? Because even if we were overtaken in our faltering, in our sin, in our falling down, Jesus Christ has come, he became sin for us, that we now be made the righteousness of God, which means we are forever having a connection that we can go back to God. Why? Because he has come to be the fulfillment of the desire of heaven, that when God brings to a place of birthing, he cannot shut the womb. Hallelujah. I do believe that wherever you are, there might be a question arising, therefore, what is God expecting me to do about the glorious provision of his Spirit? Before we go into the current of the seed, listen to what God is saying. I believe the words of the prophet Isaiah are the one word that will provision us for what heaven is calling us to be and how heaven is expecting us to be. In Isaiah 60, he says, arise, shine. Oh, yes. This is the time to arise. This is the time to shine. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. You must know now, this is a messianic prophecy brought by the prophet Isaiah, who represented the suffering servant Jesus Christ in his writings. The construction is of the Messiah, of his birth, of his suffering, and of his being glorified. And he says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is written upon you. And then it goes on to say, like I'm working the times that we are living in right now, he says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness shall cover the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Yes, my friend, upon you. This is the time to know that God has released Jesus Christ so that the light of his glory can be your hope for you to arise in the midst of all that's going on throughout the world. The question is, what do we do? He says, arise, shine. What about the darkness? He says, I've already said it, that the darkness shall cover the earth, but when the darkness covers the earth, I, the Lord, will rise upon you. I can assure you prophetically, my beloved, that we have come to a season where there will no longer be the triumphalism of the names of men. We are coming to the place and the season of the kingdom of God, the kingdom that belongs to King Jesus Christ. And in this kingdom, King Jesus is the name that is above all names. Why? Because the Bible says, for God exalted Jesus in Philippians 2 and 9, God exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every other name. Why? Because at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess of God. And that's what we will connect with the character of this seed of heaven called Jesus Christ, whom God has sent so that through him, you and I might be able to connect and fulfill the will of God in the earth. The will of God, which is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, my friend, this is what it means. That if you and I do not receive Jesus Christ, all the life we think we are living is a lie. Why? Because only by receiving him that we be saved, we come to the knowledge of the truth. Every other knowledge becomes a lie without Jesus Christ. Every other knowledge becomes a lie without Jesus. We can go further to say when Jesus spoke in John chapter 14 and verse 6, and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And he says, no man goes to the Father but by me. You must understand, if he says, I am the way, it means every other knowledge outside of Jesus is not the way, but it is the destruction. It is the falling, and it is the faltering. And he says, I am the truth, which means every other knowledge outside of Jesus becomes a lie. And then he says, I am the life, which means every other way outside of Christ becomes death. It is the way of death. And he says, no man goes to the Father but by me, which means any other claim of going to God or claim on God or claim on God's things without Jesus is not truth, it is a lie. It is not of God. You must understand, it is only Jesus. He is not one of the religious leaders. No, he is the Son of the living God, and he is God indeed. Why? Because he came from the Father, and he declared, no man goes to the Father but by me. Oh, but I declare it right now over the airways and say to you, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Yes, I repeat, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. The way of your culture and your tradition will not help you. The way of your religion and your religious rituals will not help you. Nothing of my own intellectual ability will help me. But Jesus Christ alone, he is the way, the only way to the Father. There is no other way that is set by God whereby we may be saved. There is no any other name set by God whereby we may be saved. Save the name of Jesus. You know, I'm excited, my beloved, wherever you are, to know that when you receive Jesus, it is not just a religious thing. Listen, it is a quality of life that you need for your own life. Remember, when he said in Philippians 2:9 that God has exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every other name, we are living in this season where knowledge has increased. When Daniel received the prophecy of this time that we are living in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, the Lord said to him, Daniel, close the book, for these things are for an appointed time, and at that time, knowledge will increase. This is the season where we are in. Many names are branded around. Many names are known and brandished all over the world. God knew that this time is coming. But the Bible says from before the foundations of the world, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain. And God has exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. What names am I talking about? I'm talking about the names of the diseases in your life. I'm talking about the names of the conditions in your heart. I'm talking about the conditions that might be oppressing your mind. I'm talking about the diseases that might be trying to torment your body. I'm talking about the relationships that the devil might be trying to use to bring stress and strain over your life. The name of Jesus is exalted above the names of those conditions. And you can stand in the name of Jesus and begin to declare, in Jesus' name, I command this to God. command this sickness to bow. I command this condition to bow. I command the strife to bow, even in my nation, in my community, in the world, in the rulership, in the means of governance. I command everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God to bow down and yield to the name that is above every other name. I want to bring it to the rounding of my beloved by saying to you, Jesus is the quality food of heaven that God has sent so that he keeps everything that you and I could ever desire of God. Something with life itself should only be accessible, attainable, enjoyable, experience through Jesus Christ and him alone. So I want you to look with me in the book of Colossians as we look at this quality that God chose to create all things through, because it is a quality called Jesus Christ. And I want you to consider these words in Colossians chapter 1. Consider the seed, because we are entering what I believe is a kingdom harvest time, which means that those who are praying, those who are standing in the gap, you are going to rejoice because it's harvest time. No more shall you be trained to pray like you have to create something anew again. No, God is about to show you that your harvest time has come, and it's not by might, nor by power, but it is by his Spirit that whatever we have desired and whatever heaven has conceived shall be brought forth even through our lives. It shall be brought forth. Let's read Colossians chapter 1 as our last scripture for today. You read the prayer of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, and after he prayed for them, he says, this is how I am praying, because God has delivered us from the power of darkness. And that's where I wanted you to look at it. Isaiah said, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness shall cover the people. But now in Colossians, after the cross, after Jesus died, we are hearing the message of hope and breakthrough, that in Jesus dying, in Jesus raising from the dead, in Jesus ascending to go to heaven, and in Jesus giving us the hope of his returning, he has delivered us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and God has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. This is where you are called to, my friend. You and I are called to come to connect the kingdom of the Son of the love of God. And he goes on to say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is what we have. These are now the qualities of Jesus as the seed. And I'm saying the seed so that you get ready to harvest in the midst of the times that we are living in. It's harvest time for the church kingdom. It's harvest time for the sons of God. It's harvest time for the saved. It's harvest time for those who have come into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. He says we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have it. It's a present, continuous provision and supply from God. We are searching. By receiving Jesus, you are redeemed by his blood, forgiven, and given forgiveness also to walk therein. And then verse 15, what is this that we are receiving in Jesus? We are receiving the very image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Hallelujah. Which means everything that you and I could ever desire, when we pray, we no longer praying or denying it as though the name of Jesus is just a slogan to get something. No, we come with the authority that says, I pray in the name of the image of the invisible God. I pray in the name of the firstborn over all creation, which means nothing in the horizontal creation can inhibit my provision from God. Why? Because I come in the name that cannot be limited by anything that is created. Why? Because he is the firstborn over, not the firstborn of creation. Know that he is the firstborn over all creation, which means that creation was finished first in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Creation was finished in him, and he was exalted by God to be the standard of whatever will claim the image of the Creator. If you and I are to claim the image of God, Jesus is the only way. Why? Because in him, the creation of God, the creative virtue of God, was finished and sealed by him, as we told. Verse 16, he says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things were created through him and for him. It means he's the seed, he's everything that you're praying about. So what do? You're praying now. Arise, shine, and throw in your point of intercession as the sickle to harvest the goodness of God out of the Son of his love. This is your portion, my friend. This is my portion. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might until we meet again on Destined for Glory right here on Finding My Way Radio. God wish you, bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.